Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
Tim Versalotti, professor of political science, director of the Western New England University poll, and one of the brightest men I know. I wanted to ask you about, you know, casinos in Massachusetts. In Connecticut, we now see this extraordinary happening, which is that a very unexpected thing has happened, and that is that the folks are telling us, who know about these things, that the lotteries are doing better than the casinos. What is that about?
Well, I can only speculate there, but speaking as a guy who buys a $2 ticket every week at the supermarket,
well, me too.
Lotteries are simply more accessible. You don't have to get in the car and go to Mohegan Sun to play the slots or some other gambling. You can just pick up those tickets at the corner store, and so that could be part of it. And the cost of entry is much, much lower as well. Folks in Massachusetts look at developments like that and catch their breath because, as you've pointed out, we're in the midst of going through a licensing process to license 3 casinos in Massachusetts. And there's a great deal of hope pinned on these casinos as economic generators, as industries that will provide a large number of good-paying jobs in a state that certainly needs them.
Well, yes, and you're a pollster, and if not doing polls, you have your hand on the pulse of these communities. You are in Springfield, Massachusetts, which is one of the contenders, as they say, and the locals have to vote on this stuff in each of these places.
That's right.
So what's likely to happen?
Here in Western Massachusetts, there are 3 proposals on the table.
Right.
MGM Resorts International has proposed a casino for Springfield. Hard Rock Cafe has proposed a casino in West Springfield. If your listeners ever go to the Big E, the 6-state exposition that happens every September, it would be on land in that area in West Springfield. Or in Palmer, Mohegan Sun has proposed a casino as well. And under the legislation approved in 2011, the local community has to vote to approve the proposal before the State Gaming Commission will consider the license application. Springfield had its referendum on July 16th. MGM Resorts International ran it like an old-fashioned political campaign, advertisements, knocking on doors, mailings, and won big. The vote was 58-42% in favor of the casino. And there is mindfulness in the casino industry that you don't just want to win, you want to win big. When you make your case then to the Massachusetts Gaming Commission for community support for a license. Up next, West Springfield has a vote scheduled for September 10th. Palmer has not scheduled their vote yet. And so what we see is this fascinating variation on retail politics that's happening in each of the communities as the casino developers seek the one license that is set aside for the 4 counties of Western Massachusetts.
So as a guy who's looking at all of this, I have a couple of questions. First of all, does the demographic of the city or of the community have anything to do with whether these things pass big?
I think it does, and it's a very interesting electoral dynamic. The Springfield Republican newspaper commissioned a poll that we did for them right before the Springfield vote, and what we found was support for the casino was highest among younger people, among less educated people. It was higher in the Black community. It was higher among Latinos compared to white voters. What's interesting about that is, with the exception of African Americans, which tend to match white voters in terms of voter turnout, younger people, less educated people, Latino voters, they tend to turn out in lower numbers. So in advance of the referendum, looking at that, you think, wow, okay, we've got a lot of support, but it's among groups that don't tend to turn out in high numbers. But they did in this case in Springfield. And so the makeup of the community does make a big difference in terms of people who want the jobs that a casino might bring, who may want the entertainment options. Older voters, more highly educated voters, are more likely to view casinos as bringing a lot of negative externalities. An increase in crime, an increase in traffic. Older voters are more likely to raise moral concerns. Gambling is sinful or immoral, or gambling targets people least able to afford to spend money at a casino. And so the composition of the community can have an effect. And the partisanship as well. Although Springfield's a fairly heavily Democratic city, you see working-class Democrats splitting from better-educated Democrats on this issue, with the more highly educated Democrats taking a dimmer view of a casino and its value to the community.
I want to do a lightning round with you, this being our last in our series of Tim Versalotti interviews until you come back the next time. Okay, so you can take no more than a minute on any of these, all right? State Senator Michael Knappich's resignation, leaving Massachusetts with only 3 Republicans and a 40-member Senate. What do you make of that?
Well, here's a guy who's got kids entering college age, and he's going to work for Westfield State University, and you get a nice tuition benefit when you work for a university.
Especially a university with a president who is a politician himself.
Or
a retired politician, right?
Right. So in this case, the district is fascinating. President Obama carried the district by 20 points, but Gabriel Gomez, the Republican nominee for Senate in the special election on June 25th, carried the district by 8 points.
Wow.
It's an upside-down T, and the communities at the bottom of the T that border Connecticut tend to vote Republican.
Now, can the Democrats take the seat?
They're going to have to put out an effort in terms of get out the vote. It's going to be a special election in the fall, and it's a seat that's been in Republican hands for more than 20 years. It's a tough hill to climb, but we've seen Democrats make great strides in their get out the vote effort.
Let's talk about Stanley Rosenberg's ascension in the Massachusetts Senate to replace President Murray at the helm of the Senate.
What a surprising story that was, not so much that it's happening, but the timing of it so far in advance. Therese Murray is term limited to 2 4-year terms as Senate president. Her second term runs out in 2015. Stanley Rosenberg, the state senator from Amherst, who's represented the community for over 20 years, is the majority leader right now, and he has lined up the votes to become Senate president. That gives Western Massachusetts added clout on Beacon Hill because the Senate president sets the legislative agenda in the body and is the point person when the Senate and House and the governor have to sit down and work out differences over the budget. So Senator Rosenberg will be elevated to a very powerful position.
Does she stay?
Well, she's one of the names tossed around for
Lieutenant,
governor.
For governor, yeah.
Yeah. So hard to tell. Hard to tell what the future holds for Therese Murray.
Would she do well as a gubernatorial candidate?
Again, it
she's
depends
tough,
on
you know.
The field.
She's very tough.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and knows Massachusetts politics well, and she's laid down some markers in terms of political debts. It depends on how crowded the field is. She's got Steve Grossman has run statewide and won, so she's got a formidable opponent there. Martha Coakley is still looking at the race. If she gets in the sort of precedent-setting, will Massachusetts elect its first woman governor? We've had a woman governor, an acting governor.
Who would do better, Coakley or Murray?
I'd like to see a steel cage match there because there's still a lot of bad memories connected to Martha Coakley's run for the Senate in 2009-2010. Hard to tell.
Okay, 2016, we have less than a minute. Tell us what you make of this election, President.
Oh, right now, if you talk to anyone, they say it's Hillary Clinton's for the asking, but we're already beginning to see some questioning about that as people recall how much of a prohibitive favorite she was in 2008. One of the wild cards is, will 2016 be one of those generational elections where the Republicans put forth a younger candidate along the lines of Marco Rubio? If that's the case, the Democrats may start to wonder, do we really want to reach back to the 90s for our nominee, or do we look to up-and-comers, Andrew Cuomo, Martin O'Malley, someone else from the party? So it's so early, so much can happen.
Tim Bresolotti, we love you, is the director of the Western New England University Poll, professor of political science, and a great asset here at WAMC. We thank you, Tim.
My pleasure.